Good evening, and welcome once again to Your Legal Right on KALW FM 91.7 in Cisco. Tonight, I'm pleased to offer what I hope becomes our quarterly discussion of landlord-tenant law. Here, we thought we'd had this thing figured out. The restrictions of the shelter-in-place orders were waning, the pandemic easing. Everything was going well. The Judicial Council lifted the statewide stay of evictions. In signing the order, the Chief Justice stated the court was deferring to the other branches of government to figure out the best way to manage the situation. But we're not quite out.
Hello? Yeah.
The entire Bay Area still faces renewed restrictions as the pandemic, prematurely counted out, seems to be resurging. Now come wildfires that in the past 10 days have burned almost 2,000 square miles, or roughly the size of the state of Delaware. That number's wrong. Editing errors, we always have fun issues with technology. But burned an area the size of the state of Delaware and has displaced tens of thousands of people. We hope most of these displacements are temporary. But obviously there's much to discuss. In recent weeks, we've had great discussions and a lot of you have called in, even as we reached into your homes and cars via Zoom, as we too continue to shelter in place, broadcasting remotely to you via zoom.com. As always, we welcome your calls. While we shelter in place, we seek normalcy and we especially want to hear from you. If you have legal questions for my guests, if you want to tell us how COVID-19 or fires have affected you or your loved ones, your life, your jobs, threatened your housing, your business, how government measures are working or not for you, for your business, where you might look for relief or just want to talk to another human being, give us a call. Our phone number right here is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, call us toll free at 866-798-8255. And again, if you want us to pay the freight, that's 866-798-8255. As always, you can call regarding any question on tonight's topic, landlord-tenant law, or any related real estate law question. You're not limited to the point we may be in our conversation. And as always, our returning guests are happy to answer all your questions. We stop short of giving precise legal advice, as we won't have all the facts relating to a given case. However, we're more than happy to pass along the legal principles that can help guide you in your decision-making. For some 20 years, San Francisco landlord-tenant attorney Jessica Chalik represents clients in rent board actions, mediations, and court for landlord-tenant issues. Jessica launched her practice to specialize in San Francisco residential evictions, vacancy agreements, and rent board petitions for tenants, landlords, master tenants, and subtenants. San Mateo attorney David Finkelstein, a graduate of NYU School of Law, David has admitted to practice in the states of California and in New York, beginning his career as a staff attorney in California for the National Housing Law Project at Bolt Hall Law School, now Berkeley Law School. David has been representing clients in real estate and landlord-tenant matters for some 40 years. David recently wrote an article published in the June issue of the Apartment Owners News magazine about protection for renters during the COVID-19 crisis. I'm also expecting that we will be joined by San Francisco attorney Salvatore Timpano, who is considered one of the top attorneys in the Bay Area practicing in the area of landlord-tenant law, representing both landlords and tenants in the area of eviction. He's not quite with us yet due to a technical glitch, but we're well represented with Jessica and David with us. So to each of you, well, all three of my guests have been very exceptionally generous with their support for both the Your Legal Rights Program and its monthly Call a Lawyer Night. And Sal and Jessica, David and Jessica, who are with me now, were both our guinea pigs in the Zoom a Lawyer feature we had recently that may be the basis of maintaining Call a Lawyer until we are able to resume normal function in the studio. So with that, David, Jessica, let me welcome you to Your Legal Rights.
Hello, Jeff. Good to be here.
Yes, and thank you for having me.
So I have some sample questions, of course, to the listeners. We welcome your questions, but we were talking about the stay on evictions that the Judicial Council had put in place. How long is that going to remain?
currently, or actually as of the end of last week, I think, the Judicial Council has voted to rescind those stays, so that as of August 31st. So I believe that the evictions will be allowed, or the issuance of summons. That's actually what was prohibited, was the issuance of summons on unlawful detainer complaints. So I think that that is going to be available again on a statewide basis come the beginning of September. Now, local areas may have local ordinances that change that. And David, I think we were talking before about Redwood City in particular has some local restrictions.
Yes, Redwood City has one of the most restrictive local ordinances. I think before you can send a 3-day notice, you have to give like a 14-day pre-notice to the tenant, asking him if he has any COVID-19 related reasons and to give evidence of that within 14 days before you can even issue a 3-day notice. And as I mentioned before the program, separately, San Mateo County Superior Court has continued its ban on the issue of a summons in an unlawful detainer until October 2nd. So even if you jump through these local hoops in various cities in San Mateo County, you still can't evict. So what I've done, at least in non-residential, I know we're talking mostly residential, but in non-residential commercial cases, I've been recommending that the landlord file like a collection action that's not an eviction action. And because those are not restricted in San Mateo County, you could get a summons issued immediately. There's no stays. And I've done about a dozen of them. And so far I've had very great success that when the commercial tenant gets served with that, they call me and usually negotiate some kind of payment plan. And that's really what most landlords want, is not to evict a commercial tenant, because it could take a year to replace a commercial tenant, but they can't live with not getting any rent, and they have to pay their mortgage and taxes and all of that. So what they really just want is some kind of a payment program. And so that's what I've been using is, in residential situations, it's much more difficult.
But payment negotiations, depending on the local rules, can be allowed. San Francisco does have the option to negotiate with your residential tenants as well. But they have, once the local moratorium on non-payment and late payment of late fees is lifted, they have 60 days to catch up their rent. I'm sorry, 6 months to catch up their rent. So right now we're looking at August 31st for that, with the 60-day extension from the mayor's executive order being the end of October, and then 6 months after that to pay rent on a negotiated deal.
The question is, Jessica, do you think that would also apply to just if the landlord sued the tenant just on a collection for breach of contract for the rent, that they couldn't do it? I mean, if without asking for an eviction.
Well, actually, the San Francisco City Council passed an ordinance that says that landlords cannot evict residential tenants for non-payment of rent at all, if it's COVID related, you know, if it's due to COVID issues, and that it is actually converted to consumer debt, which is, you know, a collections issue. So they would sue in small claims or in regular court, depending on the amount. So that's actually a San Francisco local ordinance at this time. Of course, it's been challenged by the landlord groups because it, being able to evict a tenant is an important right to them.
Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to tell everybody that, and Sal, if you heard me say this, your ears might have been burning, but I'm happy to say that Attorney Sal Timpano has joined us. So we now have, our technical issues aside, we have a full group, our full panel is here. And what I gleaned from our discussion a moment ago is that while the Judicial Council has voted to dissolve their statewide moratorium on evictions, it sounds like the courts, various cities and counties, rent boards, perhaps even other sources, may have either a stay in place or hoops you have to jump through that go well beyond what the state requires.
That's true. And the reason for that is the Judicial Council is the policymaking arm of the courts, which are separate from the legislature. And they stepped in an emergency and issued the emergency rule one that prohibited the issuance of summons on unlawful detainer complaints or eviction complaints. But they have maintained the entire time, and now they're finally putting the legislature and the governor's feet to the fire by saying, you know, this is not really our domain to do. This is not a court's place to suspend these summonses. Any eviction relief or, you know, relief for landlords or tenants has to come from the legislature and or the governor. And now, you know, they've had 5 months to work on it, and the Judicial Council has said, you know, 5 months and we're done.
You know, some other courts, the lower courts below, also take the perspective, look, whether it's small claims or landlord-tenant, these may be the people's courts, but they're also what bring a lot of bodies into the courthouse in areas that we can hold off. And they're still trying to hold down the traffic so they don't themselves have their numbers diminished any further, because as judges get sick, you don't have as many courtrooms operating. So it's really really quite the challenge, especially in times of the legislature, because these unprecedented unemployment claims has cut the judicial budget substantially and every other area of government as well. So we're really kind of in uncharted waters. The one thing I get is, I was going to ask you at the start what happens afterwards when we talked about the stay being dissolved, but it sounds like that may depend a lot on where you are, because it's going to be different from city to city to county and from so many different sources. There's probably no easy answer.
And Jeff, if I might add, you know, the Judicial Council removing the statewide stay that it had in place, preventing landlords from getting a summons issued. Now, if a landlord can now get a summons issued, but the tenant still has the affirmative defenses that are in place by the eviction moratoriums. And there's, you know, city moratoriums, state moratorium, extensions on those. They're going to be used as affirmative defenses now. So some landlords may not bring their cases anyway, because just because they can get a summons, if they're going to have to fight an affirmative defense that they can't beat, well, they're not going to, they're just going to institute their own moratorium, so to speak, and wait until the affirmative defense is either no longer apply, or they're going to sue for the money as consumer debt rather than seeking an eviction. So I think to do, the Judicial Council probably did what it could for a while to stave off a rush to the courts, probably had to do it for that reason, in my opinion. But now it really would be legislating if it kept going, it seems. So they're taking off the brakes, and landlords can file to get their summons issued, but they can't just go running to the court without taking into account what moratoriums are still in place. I mad rush to the court.
Right. I wanted to mention that I've had one or two unusual cases where, and I won't mention any names, but one or more of these short-term rental groups rented several units from my clients, and then because of COVID-19 or whatever, their subtenants, and in a couple of cases, they actually leased the units for a year, under a year lease, and in several of the cases, they're collecting rent but not paying it to my client. And so what I've done in those cases is I filed an action against those short-term rental agencies for on a collection and asking for attorney's fees and interests and costs. And those are progressing. So I think, and also in commercial cases, I've done that with quite a lot of success. So I wouldn't exactly rule out that collection effort. It may not work with an individual residential tenant who lost their job. It won't work in that situation. But in other situations, like I mentioned, it could be workable.
You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM. I'm Jeff Hayden. Tonight we have a distinguished panel lending a view of landlord-tenant law. With the pandemic and wildfires compounding an already existing housing crisis, my guests are here to help. If you have questions for my guests, our phone number is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. Once again, that's 866-798-8255. And as always, you can call regarding any question on tonight's topic, which, of course, is landlord-tenant law. You're not limited to the exact point we may be in our conversation. So as it stands right now, can I be evicted for the back rent?
Right now, no, because the judicial council suspension of summons is in place, and because depending on your local jurisdiction, I mean the governor through his executive order gave local legislatures and mayors the right to make rules governing rent collection. And in San Francisco is where I primarily practice. Well, actually, it's where I solely practice these days. And the mayor here, Mayor Breed, has issued an executive order, a mayor's order that has said that for COVID-related financial hardship, non-payment of rent and non-payment of late fees cases are suspended currently until, well, her order ends August 31st, and then it goes for 60 days after the order ends, so currently October 30th.
My understanding as well, Jeff, you would be protected until October 30th, 2020 in San Francisco.
Right. And in other jurisdictions, in San Mateo County, you might be protected longer than that. Because, you know, now, first of all, at least until October 30th, let's say. And then now the San Mateo court has extended its ban to even issue a summons until October 2nd, which may get extended further. And several of the individual cities are giving the tenants up to 180 days to pay the back rent. So if you, I think Sal has mentioned that if you later, even if you were able to sue, they would have an affirmative defense that, hey, wait a minute, it's not 180 days. I still have 180 days to pay.
Let me turn it over to Jamie from Red Bluff. Jamie, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. I have a lady who came to me saying that she wanted to continue paying for her dead mother's house that I held a note for. And I said, okay, you can pay for your dead mother's mortgage to buy the house. Because she told me she was her daughter, and her only daughter. And so, I don't know. I let her pay the mortgage to buy it, and then she stopped. And so I just am investigating. Turned out she was the daughter-in-law, and it wasn't her, you know, so it wasn't her right to be doing that. And the people who would have taken it didn't want it, but so I did a foreclosure because that's the only way to keep it out of the courts for probate. So the people, I offered it to the real son, real daughter, and uncle or brother, and nobody wanted it because it was owed more on it than they wanted to pay anyways, because that lady who was living in it, I guess, trashed it. So I did the foreclosure, and she hasn't paid, you know, anything more, you know, since back over almost going on 2 years now. And I finally got the foreclosure back in January, and so I did a 90-day notice, because you have to do a 90-day notice on a, even if it is, you know, anybody's involved with a foreclosure. So I did that, and then COVID happened, and so she's not paying. She wants $30,000 to get out.
What jurisdiction are you in? What city?
Red Bluff, Tehama County.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're under statewide moratorium there. Ends on September 30th, 2020. So if you're going to serve an eviction notice for UD, you're going to be waiting until then,
right,
if it's non-payment. And then I think David had done something else before, forcible detainer, David, or even a civil action or possession.
It was a 90-day notice to leave because she had no rights to the place. She said she's going to turn around and sue me for taking her money to live when she was living there, and she wanted to take over the payment for her mother. And she made those payments to me. Well, I don't know what if she has any right to do that.
Well, you've got a unique situation. I'm not sure that I can answer whether the COVID-19 rent control or rent restrictions even apply to your situation. And I think you need a local real estate attorney to advise you. It may be when this judicial counsel moratorium is over that you can file after the 90 days are over to get possession, because this wasn't your tenant. It's not really your tenant. It's a foreclosure situation. But I can't tell you over the radio whether I'm correct or not without looking into different aspects of your case.
Yeah, they said they can't even do summons right now. No courts can even issue a summons. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's until September 2nd. It ends September 1st. So September 2nd, there might be a flurry of parties running to court to get summons.
Okay.
If your 90 days expired, you may still be able to file your unlawful detainer complaint and just not have your summons issued yet. You should check with an attorney that's local to the property, because counties have local restrictions, and it's very important to get somebody where the property is so that they don't have the knowledge of the local situation.
Would Jamie be served, do you think, by filing a civil action to recover back rent as a consumer debt, just as leverage against this ERSAT's tenant claim for relocation money?
I don't think so. I don't think there's a landlord-tenant relationship there. This is a foreclosure from a lender.
And right. I, but I did take some.
And you have an ersatz tenant, somebody that's staying over, so she has to go through an eviction, and the person's claiming relocation money. She probably doesn't have a lot on her side when she does eventually get brought into court. But maybe Jamie can further that along, maybe with a civil action, is what I was thinking. I don't know if that's advisable, but I thought I'd run it by you.
You get into and I don't know whether it applies to this tenant who's in there. These non-recourse things on foreclosure, and I don't know if this is going to violate the non-recourse for past rent that usually, I think it's Civil Code Section 580B and D provides for non-recourse on a deed of trust foreclosure. So I wouldn't advise doing that. I just advise going for the unlawful detainer based on a holdover beyond the 90 days.
Okay.
I see. So that seems to be a consensus, Jamie, that you should probably just do that.
And I would say at this point, I think I would probably, I mean, I think you should have that 90-day notice reviewed by an attorney, because the property is probably subject to statewide rent control. I don't know if it is, but if it's less than 15 years old, then it is subject to statewide rent control, perhaps, and you should have it checked so 90 days don't pass on a lame duck notice. You know, use the time to confirm as best you can that your notice is viable.
They don't have rent control up in Red Bluff.
Yeah, Red Bluff, California is under statewide rent control as of, I don't know, January 1st.
Oh.
Of this year.
That's when Assembly Bill 1482 went into effect, and that imposed statewide rent control and eviction controls. So you should check with a lawyer who in the area of the property who does that work.
I think there's an exception for foreclosure in AB 1842.
I believe you're right, David. I do believe you're right on that. But my advice to the caller still stands. I think you should have that checked by an attorney, because it might, you know, it's difficult to rely on luck to get those notices correct. Attorneys have problems with eviction notices, that they have to work out before they get them out. And sometimes those notices are defective as well. So I strongly encourage you to seek some legal counsel local, like my colleagues are saying, in your area, while you have the time.
Yes, I know, for example, on the regular notices, and I don't know if it might also apply to the 90-day notice, that you have to put in certain statutory language about abandonment of personal property, and if you don't have that, the notice is void. And that trips up a lot of lay people who aren't aware of that.
Mm-hmm. That's one good example right there. So, good luck with that.
You know, my go-to when we can't give you an answer is to refer you to the local loyal referral service. But in that part of the state, I'm not sure how close you will find one. I hope you don't have to go into Reading for it, that you can find one in Red Bluff. But here, I just don't have the information.
Okay. So what did you think about her being able to take me to court about getting back the money that she gave me, because she said she was a daughter and wanted to keep on paying the mortgage so she could take over the mortgage?
Well, I think you might have a defense in fraud, because she told you a lie. She misled you in order to, get something from you. So, but really, you need to talk to an attorney who's in that area who practices that sort of law.
Perhaps quantum merit as well. I mean, she got something for the money she paid. She had control of the property. So now she's going to ask for the money back. Not only did she lie about her authority, but she also had control of the property during that time. So, I mean, she got something for her money, even though she lied.
It went over her head.
Also, under the 580, it's not 580. Under the civil code foreclosure procedures, she could have had up to 5 days or 5 business days, I think, before the foreclosure date to offer to tender the balance of the money or to bring it current. And she didn't do that. I'm assuming she didn't do that. Is that right?
Well, the other thing is also don't forget the damage that she did to the property too. You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM. We'll be back right after this.
Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of laws related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.
We're talking about whether I can be evicted for the back rent. But from the other side, my tenant has been sliding on the rent and I haven't been able to foreclose. How do I meet my obligations?
That's a good question, Jeff. I don't have any experience with representing any landlords that are losing their properties because of not being able to collect rent. Perhaps it just hasn't been going on long enough, you know, and they're doing what they can to make their payments. Some landlords are going to have bigger payments than others, but I have read that mortgage lenders are also entering into deals whereby they either postpone or re-amortize the loan. So that's just things that I've read, but I haven't had any personal experience with that.
I've had some experience because I probably represent quite a number of commercial landlords. And my experience is I think there might even be some new federal banking laws or banking regulations that sort of encourage the banks to give up to a 6-month moratorium on payments if the owner can justify to the bank that there is a COVID-19 related reduction in rent that they're getting. So I've had at least 2 or 3 or 4, but most of them have been in commercial and not in a single family residence, but I believe that there is, that would apply in that case too, that the landlord could go to his lender and say, look, my tenant isn't paying me the rent and I need a 6-month moratorium, but I don't think they could get more than 6 months.
Under the federal rule?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I've read too that lenders are doing it, you know, on their own. And they might even be doing it for longer periods of time. But I haven't had any, you know, I haven't dealt with any of those personally. And it seems like the right thing to do anyway, you know, so I haven't heard a big uproar of properties being in foreclosure. Something might be, you know, helping out there. I also heard the federal government may be making the unpaid rent, allowing it to be a tax credit to the landlord. So that would have some tangible value to the landlord come tax time because it's a tax credit, which means they just take it right off of their tax bill. So it's like they get it at tax time. They get it back as a tax rebate. So, I mean, that could be helpful too. I don't know if it's going to be done, but I've heard that they're considering that. What else, Jeff? What else is happening to you?
Well, let's see. My tenants aren't paying me. I can't pay my rent. I guess my question is, do I
Since they can't evict me, can I forever slide on the rent payment? Or at some point, is there going to be a comeuppance?
Yes, I will. Let me just answer. My understanding is that all of the statutes that I have read provide for deferrals, and it could be deferrals up to 180 days. There might be some local jurisdictions that defer a little longer. But as far as I know, there's no local, county, statewide, or judicial rule that requires a landlord to forgive the rent.
Right. That's correct. I mean, as far as I'm aware, that's not out there.
It pretty much prevents the landlord from evicting you, but not from seeking the money in a regular civil action. The unpaid monies are always due currently by way of a regular civil action, if not an eviction. So you're not off in today's, you know, state of affairs, the tenant would always have to pay back the rent or be obligated to pay back the rent by way of a regular civil case, if not an eviction action.
So for many people, that would mean they can't evict the person for it. But so the real teeth to come and get it are gone, but at the same time, they still owe it.
They still owe it, and the landlord can file a lawsuit to collect. The thing to note is that in an eviction lawsuits on a non-payment of rent case, you can only go back 12 months on unpaid rent in your rent notice, so 1 year's worth of rent. But collections actions, if on a written contract, the statute of limitations is 4 years. So they have 4 years to go back and collect that.
And on oral, it's two. So they can still go back, too, on an oral.
On an oral, it's two. You're right.
So if I'm going to be coming into money, I don't want to come into it in the next 2 to 4 years. I'd probably rather wait.
There you go.
You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KLW 91.
I don't know that I've had too many private landlords in residential cases authorize me to file collection suits, but it might be worthwhile because – what's the likelihood of the tenant hiring an attorney to defend the case? I think it's very unlikely. If the tenant has any sense at all, when he got served with the suit, he'd try to call me or whoever's involved and say, hey, I'll give you a payment program. And that's what usually all the landlord wants.
Even residential landlords, mostly what they want is some idea of what you can do. And if you can make partial payments going along as a tenant, you know, they're happy to work with you, at least in my experience.
I agree, both in some experience and also what I've heard other, you know, experience of others. I agree with what's been said here so far on this point.
So tonight we have a distinguished panel, Lending a View of Landlord-Tenant Law. And let's be honest, with all that's going on out there, the pandemic, the wildfires, all of which is compounding an already existing housing crisis, my guests are here to help. If you have questions, my guests, our phone number is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, call us toll free at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. You can call regarding any landlord-tenant question, whether you're a landlord, whether you're a tenant. You're not limited to the point we are in our conversation. And again, that number is 866-798-8255. So we've talked a bit about being behind in the rent or the inability to collect rent from our tenants. And we've talked about a stay of evictions and not being able to file that unlawful detainer. Is that limited to people who are not paying the rent? Or is that across the board? I mean, what about the tenant that's a nuisance, that's ringing the doorbells of the others at 3 a.m. and cranking up the music or the like? Are they also protected in the same way?
Right now, under the Judicial Council suspension of summons, issuance of summons, yes, it's on all things. It's not just non-payment of rent.
And I do believe, I haven't had to do this, but I do believe that if you did have a violent tenant or a safety issue, that was created in the unit that required an eviction that fit under one of the just cause provisions, I believe you might be able to seek an ex parte application with a judge and get the summons issued that way. I haven't had to do it, but I believe that you could do it under those circumstances because it's public, you know, it becomes a public policy issue now if the tenant is violent or there's a safety issue at the property. But I haven't had to do that. It's so close to September 2nd that I think most landlords, rather than seek that possibility, at least in San Francisco, would rather probably just wait till September 2nd and make it easy on everybody.
Yeah. Well, my experience in San Mateo is that it's worse than what Sal is saying. Because I think I mentioned before the program started, I have a case in which we gave a 3-day nuisance notice to an auto repair shop. It's a commercial case where the inspector had come out and red tagged it for hazardous waste. And he wrote right on the red tag, this is a public hazard and a public nuisance. And so I did a 3-day nuisance notice. Then we went to the court ex parte to ask them to issue a summons and complaint an unlawful detainer. And they said, sorry, we're not hearing unlawful detainers until the expiration of our order. So I assume that's still in effect. So now it's October 2nd. And so we were not able to get an ex parte order in that case. So
They are doing them in San Francisco. You have to, once you file your summons, once you file your unlawful detainer complaint, you file an ex parte application to for asking the court to issue an order to issue the summons. And, on a showing of good cause based on violence or health and safety or something like that, if the court sees on the record and in their discretion that good cause exists, they can issue the order. And then you take it down to the clerk's office and they will issue summons. The process is there in San Francisco. I personally have not had success with it, but it's there.
Let me turn it to Liam in San Francisco. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
And try again. If you need help.
Looks like we lost Liam. Let me turn it to Lisa from San Francisco. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hello?
Hi, Lisa, you're on the air. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hi. Hi, I have a question. I have a tenant in my apartment in San Francisco whose lease is coming up to end in a few weeks, but he has been paying rent, has a job, doesn't have any kind of hardship issues, but kind of has been saying, I'm looking, I haven't found anything. I'm too busy to do that. So once the lease ends, the day arrives, and he's still there because he hasn't, supposedly found anything, what do I do? I mean, what are my options?
Did you say that he wasn't paying rent?
He is paying rent.
Oh, he is paying rent. So he may move at the end of the lease term? Is that correct?
He's saying he might move, but then it's, he hasn't found anything yet, so I'm suspecting that he's not going to be moving anytime soon.
And you expect him to continue paying the rent?
As of now, yes. I'm imagining that as the lease date comes and ends, that there may be another rent check in the mail.
Okay,
So one of my questions, sorry, is should I accept the rent? Because does that mean that I'm accepting a month-to-month tenancy of this tenant? Or should I just return the check? And, so that's one question.
And that's in San Francisco?
This is San Francisco, yes.
Okay, yeah. I think my colleagues will agree that you're going to have a month-to-month tenancy with that tenant after the term is completed, and you cannot terminate it without just cause. So,
and the just cause isn't it enough that I want to move back to my
I didn't hear that. Maybe one of my colleagues heard that. I didn't hear it. You want to move in? You want to do an owner move in?
I want to move back, yes. I want to move into my apartment, and he's sort of continuing to pay rent and not leaving. What can I do?
Okay, I see. Well, I think you have to, you know, you can serve an owner move-in notice that expires, well, it's going to expire after the ban, which I think the ban here would be, you guys, September, I think it's September 2nd. It's an OMI. It's not a non-payment of rent. So you can get a summons. Let's see. Is it October 30th in San Francisco, according to my notes, is when you would be able to actually have the summons issued on that.
Okay, let me ask you something. I'm asking my colleagues, but for example, I think AB 1482, as well as some of the local San Mateo ordinances, provide that if there's a one-year lease, the landlord is entitled to demand a renewal of the one-year lease, and if the tenant refuses, that's a grounds for eviction. I don't know if San Francisco has that same rule.
We don't, and Jessica can give us her opinion as well, but San Francisco does not. It's going to turn into a perpetual month-to-month tenancy, and the only way out is through just cause. Jessica?
Yeah, Sal, you're right that the San Francisco Rent Board has issued and has extended its eviction control ordinance, its just cause for eviction ordinance, to all residential rental units in San Francisco, even if they were built after 1979 or were single family homes or were otherwise exempt, as long as the landlord is not currently living in the unit with the tenant. So I agree with you that yes, there will, that just cause would have to be found in this situation.
Mm. The thing I see that I think is kind of the problem that nobody's addressing or that the caller hasn't addressed is if it comes out that she doesn't want to renew it because she wants to return to the home, doesn't she run a danger of having to pay a significant amount of money for relocation money to this tenant? And wouldn't it be better off to try to work it informally and maybe give a little more leeway to avoid that?
The concern is that the day after the lease ends, should I refuse the rent when it comes in? Because then am I agreeing legally to an extension month to month, conversion of the 1 year lease to a month to month? Or should I just accept the rent and then still be able to file a 60-day eviction notice after that?
So you don't have the right to refuse the rent, if that answers your question. You don't have the right at the end of the 1 year term to refuse the rent in San Francisco. You don't have the right to refuse. If you refuse it, then you just don't get the rent. And then you're serving some type of notice that leads you to believe that the effectiveness of the notice could be, if you're not serving a notice, there's no reason not to collect the rent because you're not authorized to reject it. And unless you have a notice that you believe might be nullified by accepting the rent, then there really is no reason not to accept the rent. So,
it doesn't strengthen or weaken my position by accepting or not accepting.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
That's exactly what he just told you. Yes, this would not weaken your position because you don't gain any leverage by not taking the money.
That's right.
And I was also told, but I hear that if I file a 60-day eviction notice, evicting the tenant in sometime in November, which is after the October 30th moratorium end, if I file that 60-day, I mean, the expense is going to be, I have to file, pay a lawyer for retainer fees, then I have to pay the tenant for relocation fee. And in the middle of it, if San Francisco issues a new moratorium, do I basically start all over again? I mean, what happens then?
Your guess is as good as mine on that one. I don't know. David, Jessica, you guys have any? I I think anything's possible. So I
please let him uncertainty with this COVID-19 emergency. Right.
And without knowing what's in that future moratorium, nobody can tell you what effect it's going to have. So thank you for joining us. I hope we've been of some help, but it doesn't sound like there's a real clear path for you to take, other than knowing that not taking the money is not going to help your position any. So you may as well take the money and try to work informally with your tenant.
Yeah, and Jeff, maybe give her the number to the Bar Association. She should start there.
You can always start with the Lawyer Referral and Information Service in San Francisco. That number is 415-989-1616. I have more questions for you guys, but we're essentially out of time. I'd like to cut back a little bit on the time I was going to give each of you to close so that we can answer a couple of questions that have come in from callers while we were talking. One caller did not want to be on the air. Her question is, she let a tenant move in and share the unit on April 1st, but this person never paid rent. She's given a 30-day notice that will expire on September 5th. Wants to know what to do next. Should she follow it up with a 3-day notice?
If she's in San Francisco?
I believe this caller is from Marin.
That's outside of what I'm doing currently. But my guess would be she's already given her a 30-day notice. The person paid no rent. I think at that point she'd be filing her eviction lawsuit, and then as soon as the summons suspension is lifted, getting her summons issued, but I'm not sure.
Under state law, non-payment is stayed until September 30th. I mean, that I think we all agree on. And so if her notice expires before September 30th, I'd say she better serve another notice so that it expires, even if though she's not going to act on it. She should serve one that expires after September 30th. And then
probably wait until the 31st, Monday or Tuesday of next week, and serve a new 30-day notice.
The new one would obviously say, well, I don't know if it's obvious, but it should say that it withdraws the prior notice and, you know, is a new notice. Again, I think she should call the same lawyer referral service before she drafts a 30-day notice, because there's, you know, a lot of opportunity to get it wrong. And then you don't know until 30, 60, 90 days after after you serve the notice. You might find out at the ninth inning that your notice is no good. Then you got to start over.
And in Marin County, the lawyer referral service is handled through San Francisco, the Bar Association of San Francisco Lawyer Referral and Information Service. Their number is 415-989-1616. We're really toward the end of the hour, and I wanted to give each of you a minute and a half to 2 minutes to sum up for any last closing thoughts. Who would like to go first?
I will. My only closing thought on this is, I wanted to bring to people's attention that Penal Code Section 396 says that whenever the governor issues a state of emergency for whatever reason, or any local, like a mayor or a city council or a county commission issues a state of emergency, that it then becomes a problem, that there's a prohibition on price gouging, and that includes housing. So you're not allowed, landlords are not allowed to charge more than 10% more than what they would normally charge. So in this wildfire situation where people are looking for new housing, be very aware of what the market rate was before the fire and what people are trying to charge you now.
Okay, I'll go next, if that's all right. I just want to remind the viewers that what we're talking about is we're in a new area and a new era of landlord-tenant and unlawful detainer law that is so complicated and so specialized that it's difficult even for us attorneys who primarily practice in this area, because it's like changing like daily. Like I said, in San Mateo County, the restriction on issuing a summons was just extended on August 24th, just like 2 days ago, until October 2nd. So you literally have to check day by day for the Judicial Council, the state ordinance, the mayor, the governor, local cities, local counties. It's a very difficult situation. So I think a lay person is unlikely to get it right, and you need to get somebody specialized in the area to assist you. That's where I would leave it.
And I would add to that that this is not a program where you're going to get past all that with one phone call. You need to sit down with somebody, and even an attorney practicing is going to have to look at the very specific sources of authority that affect the very specific area of that particular property at any date and time. So not only the linear up, whether it's the city, the county, but the court specifically, as well as the current state of affairs from the state and any rent control boards that may be in effect. So expect you're going to be sitting with an attorney who's going to spend, you know, an hour or two figuring out what the situation is with your particular property one day, and it may be different the day before. I hope I haven't overstated it, David, but that's really what I've walked away with.
Sure.
And I just, I'd like to encourage the listeners to call the county bar associations, call their local rent control, rent boards, and ask questions before they act. There's just too many opportunities to get it wrong, whether you're a landlord or a tenant. And seeking information at least those two places would be a good first start. And then if they need to go further, they can. But they shouldn't just do what they think is right, not at a time like this, particularly in landlord-tenant law. So that's, I'd like to leave the listeners with that encouragement.
And that's true for both landlords and tenants. It can be catastrophic to make the wrong move. It can cost you months of income. And it's so easy to talk to an attorney. And every county in the surrounding area is served by a local lawyer referral and information service. In San Francisco and Marin, it's the San Francisco County Bar Association of San Francisco. We've given that out several times in the program already. In Alameda County, the Alameda County Bar Association, which is 510-302-2222. In San Mateo County, San Mateo County Bar Association at 650-369-4149. You've been listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 in San Francisco. We've been discussing landlord-tenant law in a time when, at least locally, we appear to be living in a world of chaos. Our guests tonight have been San Francisco landlord-tenant attorney Jessica Chalik, who represents clients in rent board actions, mediations, and court actions for landlord-tenant issues. San Mateo attorney David Finkelstein, who represents clients in real estate and landlord-tenant matters for some 40 years, and has recently published an article in the Apartment Owners News magazine about protection for renters in the COVID-19 crisis. And San Francisco attorney Sal Timpano, who is considered one of the top attorneys in the Bay Area practicing in the area of landlord-tenant law. Thank you all for joining us. Your Legal Rights will be back next week at our new time of 6 o'clock, where we will have a special show devoted towards cannabis law and commercial cannabis law. So to each of you, Sal, David, Jessica, thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes.
I thank all of you for listening. And tonight at the controls, Debbie Kennedy, I'm Jeff Hayden. Be safe and have a good night.
And support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.